Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our lesson consists of several questions. They are designed to provoke thought, and hopefully, to provoke love and good works, Hebrews 10 and verse 24. Who was not shocked when they read of the slashing of a young woman in broad daylight before scores of witnesses? And she was crying for help from those who stood by, but none came to her aid. None even called the police. None even called an ambulance. She was left on the sidewalk to bleed to death. And witnesses were asked why they refused to assist her. And the answer was almost always that they didn't want to get involved. Now, this is not fiction, but an event that has been committed in our sin-saturated society. The abandonment of personal responsibility for our own sins and the abandonment of responsibility toward others is a mark of our time. Such hideous crimes only reflect the extreme in attitude that has reached epidemic proportions among people not wanting to get involved. This idea of live and let live has given way to the idea of live and let die. The way of Christ, however, is to live and help live. Has even the church escaped this attitude of not wanting to get involved? As we read of the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, we ask, what if the Samaritan had been afflicted with the diseased attitude of not getting involved? Would he be cited as a nobleman today? And why did he become involved? The priest and the Levite acted like many are acting today. Now, which of the three showed love for his fellow man? And even though it was inconvenient for this Samaritan and possibly dangerous, he had a genuine love for his neighbor and for what was right. He did what ought to have been done. His motive for helping was his sincere care. In the Old Testament, we read about a man named Nehemiah. He was a slave and the cupbearer to the king of Persia. He was told of the deplorable conditions around Jerusalem, his homeland. And this report grieved him, but his grief was not mere sobbing and wailing. He resolved that he would be involved and do something about it. He could have taken the attitude that things were bad, but that it was not his responsibility. He could have concluded that somebody ought to do something, but not him, and just dismissed it. It is wonderful to read of the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem and the removal of the reproach from God's people. But it would not have happened if Nehemiah had said, "Why does not bother brother so-and-so? Why doesn't he do something?" Would anything have been rebuilt if Nehemiah had not made a personal sacrifice, if he had not made the plans, instigated the initiative, and encouraged others and himself to the work? Notice the reaction of the people when Nehemiah put the challenge before them to erect the walls. They didn't say, "Well, this is a great idea, and Nehemiah, we hope you succeed." No, they didn't react like that. They did not say, "Let others do it." They said, "Let us rise up and build." Was not this a people willing and ready to get involved? There's the story about a little center college team meeting Mighty Harvard on the football field. To the surprise of everyone, center won. When asked for the explanation, the answer was given. There were 11 men involved on every play. All became involved in the work at hand. Well, the scriptures tell us that the walls were rebuilt in 52 days, but it also tells us why. It was because, Nehemiah 4 and verse 6, the people had a mind to work. Such genuine personal dedication is what it takes to get the job done. Jesus once said in John 4:34, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." Again in John 5 and verse 17, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." In John 9 and verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Well, the attitude of Jesus is clear, it's quite obvious. He was personally involved in the Father's plan. And when he was only 12 years of age, he said, "Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Friend, such was his manner all the days of his life here upon this earth. Now we profess to follow Christ. Let us stand before the inspired words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 12 when he says, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now a sacrifice is that which is wholly given to another. Christ wholly gave himself to accomplish the Lord's will in saving man. He became personally involved. And while the world may say we ought not get involved, cannot we see how this contrasts with the way of Christ? Do we imitate the world, or do we imitate Christ? The humorous story is told of a boy named Leroy, a star football player. Leroy was injured in a game, and he had to sit on the bench during most of the game. But the fans kept clamoring for Leroy to play because the other team was literally beating them up physically and by a huge margin on the score. Finally, Leroy was sent into the huddle with instructions from the coach to the quarterback to give the ball to Leroy. Well, the team came out of the huddle, but someone else ran the ball. The coach shouted to give the ball to Leroy. Again, another play was run and was knocked down viciously, and the angry crowd kept yelling, "Give the ball to Leroy." Well, the coach dashed onto the field and asked the quarterback why he didn't give the ball to Leroy as he was told. And the quarterback answered, "Leroy said he didn't want that ball." Now, his attitude is that of too many today who call themselves Christians when it comes to the work of the Lord. They don't want to carry the ball. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Friend, what we do is important. There must be doctrinal purity, but unless the doctrine is applied and there is action, what doth it profit? There must and can be both sound doctrine and sound practice. Can we actually say we follow pure doctrine when we have the doctrine to be involved, but are not involved? Listen to the inspired words. James 1:22, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." James 4:17, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." In Acts 4:34-35, "Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." In Acts 8:4, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." Dear listening friend, are not these clear examples of how the early Christians became personally involved in the cause of Christ? Now, we live in troubled times. Every age has had its troubles, but there can be no denying that this age faces many serious and far-reaching disturbances. Among the problems in the church is this spectator concept of Christianity. Someone has suggested that most congregations are composed of people who are 100% willing. 10% are willing to work, and the other 90% are willing to let them. Well, there is no doubt that most professed Christians want to see the Lord's cause prosper and progress. They want the sick visited, they want the lost taught and saved, the needy relieved, the discouraged encouraged. But how many are willing to get personally involved, being among those who will cooperate and can be counted on to do their share of the work? We're in dire danger of excusing ourselves into an eternal hell by our refusal to get involved. Actually, we have no aversion to being involved or committing ourselves to many things. But in what are we involved? To what are we committed? Well, we have our homes, and our clubs, and our ball teams, and our social interests, our pleasures, our hobbies, and those things are not evil in themselves. But how many will commit themselves to make even one visit per week for the cause of Christ? How many will prepare themselves to teach one person the gospel, especially some young person? How many will even support the preaching of the gospel by their presence and their funds and their moral support? Have we never learned what it means to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Matthew 6:33. 2 Corinthians 13:5 admonishes, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves." Paul, when speaking of brethren in Macedonia and commending their giving, he said of them, "They first gave their own selves to the Lord." 2 Corinthians 8:5. Well, the attitude of Saul of Tarsus was, in Acts chapter 9 and verse 6, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Submission to the Lord's will and a willingness to be involved is essential to our salvation. Samuel once said, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, 1 Samuel 3, verse 9. Is not this the expectation God has regarding you and regarding me? Is not this the attitude children of God ought to have regarding personal responsibility? Cannot each of us be as was Samuel? Since being involved does manifest love, and is a demonstration of dedication and understanding of duty to the Father, what does unwillingness to be involved manifest? As deplorable as neglect of duty was regarding the young woman of whom we spoke at the start, is that the worst sort of neglect? Are there not voices crying and pleading for salvation? If only they could know the truth that we know. These cries are familiar to you. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Be ye steadfast. Come unto me. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Friend, as the world slashes his doctrine and abuses his body, the church, and tramples underfoot his blood, we hear the Master pleading with us to help. Do we stand idly by, unwilling to get involved? When Jesus says to us, as he once said to some when some of his disciples were going away, Will you also go away? What will be our answer? Now there are other voices that we should hear. Did you ever look deeply into the eyes of an innocent child and read the questions that are written there? There are questions he cannot yet verbalize or ask, but what of him? What of his soul? What of his training? What are the great blessings of God as they pertain to him? Will he be taught properly? Will he come to know the truth and morality and honor and purity? Will he know about the church and the way of salvation? Whose duty do you think it is to see that such things are provided for him? Will the light of truth be kept burning brightly until he can assume the task of carrying the torch forward in his own generation? Dare we merely answer, I hope so, but refuse to get involved to assure that it will be so? Dare we become so seared of conscience that we turn a deaf ear to the cries of the spiritual error and ignorance of the Bible and the hopelessness and despair that comes to the vast majority of our world, many of whom who do not know, and many of whom do not even as yet care? But we know. Do we care? Serious questions are these. They are responsibilities that we cannot place upon others to bear. They are ours. We need to be involved. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.